This is Colourful.
Now, we talked a short time ago about the potential role of footballers like Ugo, and I'm pleased to say his great friend, formerly of Aston Villa, of Manchester United, Blackburn Rovers, Birmingham City, Sydney FC, Sunderland and Trinidad and Tobago, called the Smiling Assassin. I'll never forget the pictures of him wearing a baseball cap, standing on the front of the Man United bus as it travelled from the airport all the way down to the GMEX Centre. He had a cigar in his mouth. He was smiling. He was next to Andy Cole. His name is Dwight York. Dwight, good morning to you.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
You sound great, Dwight. How are you?
I'm fine, mate. Not too bad at all.
Excellent. Now, when people kind of read the tale of the tape and tell you, look, you know, this is what you've done, this is the career you've had, do you say, yeah, that's me, or do you think, wow, is that the life I've lived?
Well, in many respects, when you don't have a moment when you're actually a player and you're involved in all of it to sort of reflect on it. However, retiring now from the game, you do tend to have the odd moment to reflecting back and savoring up the time, all the good times as a footballer. And it's very rewarding to look back and realize that you have fulfilled your dreams and probably achieved more than you had probably anticipated when I set out from the shores of Trinidad and Tobago.
Seems a long time ago, Yorks. How you doing, bud?
You good? Hey, how you doing, buddy?
For me, it was just a case of, you know, sometimes you don't really like to sit back, or you haven't had time to sit back and go through what you've achieved. You know, you get it in sort of little spurts when you go to games, when you do, your shows on commentating. So I think it's probably in about 10, 15 years' time when, you know, you've got a couple of grandkids maybe, or four or five for you. But that's when you're going to look back and you can, you know, you'll be able to sit back and think. And I think be appreciated a little bit more, because I think it's not until you've gone, left somewhere, that you know people come up to you and show the appreciation, and you realize, you know, kind of what you've done. Because generally when you play football as a decent person, you play everything down.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much spot on there, Hugo. As I said, you obviously play the game at the highest level and achieve your own personal achievement and stuff, and that's all great. And yeah, it probably will be maybe 10-15 years from now when I do look back and you know, just sort of appreciate it even more. But the time I've been out the game, I've had the odd moments, as you say, and with people coming up and saying, great, you done this and you done that. And, you know, up to this day, I haven't even looked back at any football matches. So, yeah, there may come a time when I really do appreciate it a lot more. But at the moment, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying being out the game, enjoy being doing a little bit for Sky here and there, and all of those kind of things, and watching my old team do fantastically well.
They were brilliant last night, Dwight. I've got to ask you specifically about Ryan Giggs, a guy who you know well, who you played with. Now, how long do you think he can go on for? Because he actually seems to be getting better with his knowledge of the game, and his passing last night was phenomenal. Put an age on it for us. What age do you reckon he can go on till?
Well, I mean, I'm lucky enough, I still go up to the place and get a feel from the players and watch them train and do bits and all sorts. And the guy is just a phenomenal footballer. And it's amazing when you know, with some players, that when you get older, you get better. And he seems to be one of those. And, you know, when you look at it, this role where he plays centre midfield, and you've got the likes of Paul Scholes, who's been absolutely legendary, and he's getting ahead of him, just speaks volume for the guy. And he's just a fantastic. He kept himself really fit, as you can see. And he doesn't go tearing around the park. You know, he just moves into position, read the script, as we say, and picks the right pass at the right moment. And that comes with experience, and he's have abundance in it. He's been playing at the top end for so many times or so many years. And what you call the business end of the season, when you need your key players with experience, and Ryan Giggs, there's no better person to do that. And he proved it time and time again, certainly last night, with contributing two vital passes for the two goals, and which is astonishing.
No disrespect, Dwight, but I can't stand Manchester United like 90% of the country. But on the other hand, I can remember really, really clearly when you and Cole were just smashing it for Man U. And I remember just being blown away by some of the combinations that you did. And even despite my hate of the club, just having to say, you know, this is just beautiful football. And then in my memory, and correct me if I'm wrong, it felt like you just disappeared, the two of you. Suddenly you two were doing brilliantly, and then suddenly you weren't being picked. And I never quite understood what went on. Mm. Can you enlighten us?
Well, it's just time move on. We don't get, you know, we don't get any younger then. We certainly had our time. When you realize in football, you have a moment. You have moments of brilliance, and you will be at your top of your game. Certainly at a big club like Man United, you've been scrutinized every second. But at the time when we were doing well, and the combination, as you spoke about, was, you know, at the very early stage of my career at Man United. So,
but did you really ever come off the boil, the two of you, or did Alex Ferguson just have different plans?
You look around, you know, you look around in the years that Sir Alex Ferguson has been there, he has a tendency to move players on. When you get into your 30s as a striker, you no longer contribute or the firepower that you probably have. And Giggsy is probably the exceptional to Scholesy. We all been moved on, and that's his part of his key to his success. He you know, sort of use you at the, you know, if that's the right word, use you. time, and you have to do well in that time, and then you move on. You know, you look at Van Nistelrooy. You know, the same. You know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. We all moved on. We all get older, and it's a part and parcel of the game. You just have to accept. But however, when that time comes around, you just got to benefit as much as possible, and that's what we did.
I think that the almost the price you pay for being at a top club, you know, is every now and again a cycle changes, and you know, you need, they freshen, they're bringing new players, one or two, and everything. And every now and again, it gets broken up. So, like you're saying, you know, you enjoy the 3-4 year period that you had, you know, where you guys were phenomenal, almost unplayable. Not against me though, but you almost unplayable.
And I think you guys are really generous, because I just remember it. I just remember being frustrated, thinking, "Why? I don't get it. Why is he not playing them?" And I remember other people being angry as well. But
Dwight, so Alex is a master of psychology. What about the human side? So let's say when your time was coming to end, and he was prepared to accept an offer for you. How did he put that across to you at the time? And did you still retain a good relationship with him?
I do, obviously. It stands now. I go back there now. I can, tomorrow, if I just ring up and I say I'm coming in, I walk through the front door, I go into the dressing room, I go have dinner, I can have anything. I can put my football boots back on and go and train.
So what did he say to you? How did he move you on? Well, and then at the same...
He just says, you know, your time has come. You know, I remember vaguely going up into his office when he had struck the deal with Blackburn, that, you know, he says, listen, you will always welcome back here. Those are the exact words to me. You're always welcome there. We never forget what you've done for this club. You've been phenomenal. It's just one of those things. You've been brilliant for us. And as much as we'd like you to stay, but, you know, I've got to make decisions for this football club. And that's why he's what he is today, because he's very good at that. And, you know, we don't like it at the time when I was told. But it's part and parcel of being a footballer, and it's not just at Manchester United. You look around, you go.
Yeah.
You look at Villa team now. None of those players was there when we were there.
Yeah, true.
It's a cycle, and that's just how it is. And the Giggsy of this world are exceptional. The Paul Scholes and lesser Gary
almost
Neville
freaks
now.
Like, aren't they? In that respect,
it just moves on. You know, the circle changed, and that's just how it is. But yeah, we had great times, and the fact that, you know, I can turn up at Man United any given time with the blessing of Sir Alex Ferguson, and that will, you know, not too many players could say that about the fact that they go back at Manchester United.
Yorks, I think some people would like to know, you know, with his red wine and his age, has he mellowed? Because I can't imagine he was always as accommodating and as you know.
Yeah, well, he definitely has, I can tell you that. And, you know, I walk around the place with him, and, you know, and I see the players doing their thing, and I thought, God, I wish I had him then now. He just let it go. He realized that, you know, the football has changed himself. He has to change to a certain degree. A obviously you command the respect of the players still, and that is the most important thing. But he realized he has to change because the football world has changed. And you know, the players has changed. The training method has changed, the diet, you know it, Hugo.
So would you say that's one of his...
But he certainly has changed in my eyes. And but he just knows how what to say, and he demands from his players. And as I said, you know, people say they haven't played the blind football this year. What is the blind football when you challenge him from three front of two semi-final and pretty much get the Premier League wrapped up? I think that's not a bad return, is it?
I was just wondering, actually, Dwight, you're in a great position to know this because you go back to the club so frequently and you were part of that historic treble-winning team of 1999. How do they measure up compared to you and what you achieved? Because many would say, look, OK, they might be on the verge of doing the same, but actually they're not as good as you and your era.
Well, I mean, that's for people to really decide that. What do you think? The fact that I'm, you know, part of the 1999 squad is just tremendous in itself in terms of the players that was surrounded with the Giggs and Beckham on both sides and Scholes. You go through our team and Schmeichel at the back, Yap Stamp. You go through our team was phenomenal. But, you know, if this team, this present team goes on to achieve exactly like us and winning the treble, then that's a phenomenal achievement. Yes, we were probably more catching on the eyes because of the kind of football, the combination we played. Yeah, but, you know, at the end of the day, the rewards are the same. So I think he would probably bring it down to his most achievable thing because of the players that he has at his disposal now. As I said, they haven't played fantastically well, but they are on three fronts. They're in two semi-final and pretty much the Premier League wrapped up as well. So,
Dwight, do you want them to do it? Because if it was me, a bit of me would be saying, look, they can have the double, they can even have the league, but let us keep the treble.
I've got to say, they're part of me saying that and part of me saying otherwise. I'd be lying to you.
Yeah, but,
brilliant.
You know,
brilliant.
The reality is that they have given themselves a chance. Whether they go on to do it, then, fair play. Once they haven't eclipsed us and we be, you know, part of the historical treble-winning team, then that for me, you know, to be linked with that, such a great, you know, tradition of a club and the institution of the club, and to have the historical moment in that particular club is great, and to be part of it is even phenomenal. So I can't really complain too much.
Moving away from Man U for a moment, the Soca Warriors, remind us what's going on with the Trinidad and Tobago national team.
He's laughing. Go on, Dwight.
I got to be totally honest. In 2006, when we absolutely got to the World Cup, I think, you know, you guys mentioned about the treble winning year. That is arguably the proudest moment of my career. Hearing that national anthem played and having the opportunity to play the likes of England and Sweden, and those are magical moments that, you know, that you know live in the memories to be very proud of. And words can't begin to describe, because we're only a small country, you know, 1.2 million people. And to achieve what we've done there was just phenomenal. But the Soca Warrior, they keep going on, but I haven't had much involvement since I've retired from the national setup.
Yeah, because you was assistant manager at one point, wasn't you?
Yeah, I just went in there, I retired, and there was, you know, my mate, a very good mate of mine, he became the national coach, and he needed a little bit of assistance. I've had a little bit of experience of being at Sunderland as part of the coaching setup there. So I have a bit of knowledge in terms of how to get things going. And, you know, it was just a helping hand, but I never really wanted to be part of it like on a full-time basis. Mm-hmm. And it was just for four games. So that was great experience again.
Yorks, just a quick another switching tech, mate. I hear that you're running a marathon on Sunday.
Wow!
Well, Hugo, your friend, you sort of know what's going on.
tell us the cause, mate. Tell us the cause.
Well, the cause is for vision. You know, Harvey, my first son, with obviously the name that I don't really like mentioning anymore, Kate. But he has this problem, and I feel that, you know me, I've always liked a challenge, and I think it's so, and that's the reason why. and it's probably the hardest challenge I've ever taken on with my age at the moment. But
have you been training properly?
Yeah, I have. Hugo will probably think
he's a fit
things,
man. He's always in the
yeah, yeah. Hang on, Dwight's a sprinter. He's going to go into oxygen debt after half a mile.
No. This boy can run.
Yeah. Oxygen after that, I can assure you guys. But I've done some bit of running, and I feel that I'm well equipped now to really sort of get the job done. But as I said, you know I will always complete the marathon, but I'm trying to do it in 3 hours, so there you go.
In 3 hours. Have you done your 18-mile run yet? Because apparently when you're doing the training, your last run about a week or two before the marathon should be 18 miles. Have you done that yet?
Well, I've done 17, yeah. So.
Okay. Well done.
Oh, sorry.
Wow. Well,
yeah, not quite 18, but yeah. I mean, I think Hugo will probably, you know, sort of back me up. I've always been a decent long-distance runner. So.
He's been one of the fittest boys at every club he's been at.
Yeah. You know,
people might see him smiling and laughing, but he's a fit boy. He can run.
Yeah, that's
talking of which, actually, Dwight, I know that you're also being, you know, you put your services forward for your country, Trinidad and Tobago, as an ambassador, and you're at the World Travel Market, I think, at their stand in Docklands at the Excel Centre. And one of my presenter colleagues here, Juju, bumped into you. I think you were having some rum alongside Rudolph Walker.
Yeah.
And I think she touched your arm. And what happened, Juju?
It was like concrete. I'll tell you, this is why I know Ugo's not lying. His body. Hey, careful, Dan. His arms. I touched his arm. His arm is rock solid. It's like banging a piece. Honestly, it's amazing. Your body, you're so in shape.
Yeah, well, thanks. I mean, I don't like to expose myself to you.
In a manner of speaking.
But the embarrassing thing, Dwight, was...
I do that. I do keep myself reasonably fit, so...
The real embarrassing thing, though, Dwight, was that it wasn't you that got bigged up. I went and told everybody that Brian Lara's got a wicked body, you know, his body's hard. I completely forgot who I was talking to because of you lot's rum.
Well, happily, you're a good friend of Brian still, aren't you, Dwight?
Well, what do you mean good friends of it still?
Your brother.
That won't never change, mate. We are, Hugo and I are very tight, we know that, but Brian is the my friend who... from birth, and that remains the same. We, you know, it's go deeper than that. We talk. He just called me last night to tell me good luck with the run, and you know, it's just phenomenal. Yeah, I'm a phenomenal sportsman in terms of the cricket. What he's done is just great for our country, and great to be friend alongside him.
Well, Dwight, our time is done now, but it's a great pleasure and honour to have you on the show talking about your life and times, the football, but also things outside football, the charity, and to realise that you, to me, a fast twitch fibre runner from the West Indies, is going to be running the marathon in under 3 hours. That, to me, is legendary. Ugo, he's going to be you next year.
Yeah, okay,
he's all very well saying you're good friends, but you're going to abandon him in his time of need.
Yeah.
And remind me of the name of the charity again, Dwight.
It's Vision.
Vision.
That's money. You can go to the website. It's virginmoneygiving.com/Dwight York. It's pretty straightforward. You go in there and donate as much or as little as you possibly can. It's just a great cause, and that will still help them in the long run.
Tremendous, Dwight. Thank you very much. I hope you'll join us again in the future, maybe after the marathon, time after when you've recovered. Dwight York, smiling assassin, football legend and ambassador for Trinidad and Tobago and great friend of Ugo Ekiog. Thank you very much for joining us.
Nice one, Yorks.
Cheers.
This is Colourful.